Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, welcome back, my boomer buddies, to your favorite podcast, Another Day Above Ground, where we talk everything boomer. And we do this as a team, and let me introduce you to my partners on this. First of all, from the Mile High City of Colorado. No, that's not a city, Colorado. Denver would be the city. Colorado would be the state. United States be the country. Anyhow, from out there, please welcome Carolyn Strauss.
And we want to welcome you to our geography lesson. We're going to start with geography today, Dale, apparently. Thank you for that education. Yes, I live in Denver, and we are getting between 7 and 12 inches of more snow tomorrow. So welcome to Colorado in January, everybody.
Wow. Well, good luck with that. Well, you don't ski or anything, do you?
No. Or no. Anything.
So it's just a real pain for you, yeah. Then. Okay. And joining us from the wonderful state of Indiana, the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Hey, it just occurred to me today that if J. Edgar Hoover were alive today and running the FBI, he would not have to leave his dresses at home.
That's beautiful, beautiful. And we're bringing you, of course, this podcast because we love to do it. We love communicating with you, and not a single one of us won the Powerball lottery. if this show ever goes off the air unexpectedly, that's what happened.
Now, so, I think actually if we did win the Powerball lottery, we'd still be doing it, but everybody would see it in their Facebook feed.
And from really cool studios.
I was going to say, we'd be on our yacht doing this all together with our families and friends on our mega yacht, yes.
Well, there's always the next lottery. Anyhow, what I'd like to chat about today is, as baby boomers, you know, we lived in an era before the internet, before cell phones, thankfully, before political correctness, and we filled a lot of our time being outdoors, but when we weren't outdoors, we were indoors doing what? Playing games. We used to play games all the time, and we always had a favorite one. My favorite one was Monopoly. I loved Monopoly. What about you, Carolyn?
I'm still an intense Scrabble fan. You guys know that. I've played it all over the world. But when I was little, so I liked Jax. Do you guys remember Jax? We played.
Oh, sure.
We had a linoleum kitchen floor. And my sister and I got up to like 7Zs or 8Zs once. That was my favorite.
And if you ever lost a Jack, it would make a loud noise when it was found.
In the vacuum cleaner. My mother would lose it. Yes.
It was the precursor to the Lego block.
Yes.
Now, wait, you said you played Scrabble all over the world. How do they play Scrabble like in China?
When I was in Israel, I was with my cousins, and a lot of them speak English, and their kids only speak Hebrew. And they said, "Do you want to play a game?" And I said, "Let's play Scrabble." I swear they pulled out a Scrabble board, and it was in Hebrew. I said, "This is going to be the first Scrabble game. I don't have a chance at even scoring 1 point." Yeah.
So, would you play Hebrew Scrabble? Does it go? Of course it goes right to left.
It does. It goes right to left.
But does it go? Wow. Does it go up to down or down?
No,
to
it still goes up to down, mm-hmm. but it goes right to left.
Mm-hmm. And the directions are written on a scroll.
Yes, yes. And unless the bush is burning, you can't really see the board. So, you know.
Well.
Tim, what was your favorite?
Don't do it, Tim.
I'm just going to leave it.
You kids can fill that in on your own. I think you all know what we mean.
I had two favorites, and I could never decide which one I liked better, Monopoly or Risk. It was either conquer the world or buy it.
Yeah, Risk we played in college a lot. That was the big college game was Risk.
I played Battleship a lot. I forgot that. We had the little plastic one where we each, it wasn't electronic. It was, you know, the plastic board with the little pegs and the little ships with the little pegs in it. And you had to call out numbers. It was really fun.
My dad and I played that on paper. We draw the grid on paper and put little X's where our ships were. So don't give me that plastic. It's not electronic.
Robin goes, cheap, cheap, cheap.
I'm thinking, was that when you were walking 17 miles uphill in the snow to school, Dale?
He's silly. It was 9.5 miles.
Okay.
Anyhow, I've always loved games. As baby boomers, we've always loved games. And after we grew out of the games we were talking about, then we grew into trivia. Pursuit, I think, right around in the 70s. And since then, there hasn't been a game that we really have enjoyed until now. A game just for baby boomers. It's called Boom Again, and we have the creator with us on the show today. Please, a big welcome for Brian Hirsch.
Hi, guys. It's been very hard sitting here listening to you and not jumping in. You have fun from the minute the show starts.
Well, most people just say it's very hard to listen to us.
Brian, what was your favorite game growing up?
I was a Battleship player.
Oh, my gosh. You and I should play.
G4.
Oh, you sunk my... Oh, never mind.
I think that was...
No, I love Battleship. But I really, really had an affinity for all these games. Enjoyed Clue. That was a great one. But Risk was, was just a great, great game. So I've had favorites all over the place because we did nothing, it seems, but play games inside and out.
Exactly.
It's actually. I was thinking about Clue just this week in the garage behind the Corvette with a subpoena.
No, that's not that. That's the divorce game where you don't have a clue.
Well, it's out of reach right now.
That was fun, Tim. Very funny.
So tell us, Brian, how did you get the idea for this game? Or perhaps you would be best to explain it to our listeners exactly what it is.
The game is a road trip back to everything we experienced. We grew up in a great time. It was innocent. It was on the edge of being non-innocent. We experienced so many things in so many ways. We're the first generation that experienced television and therefore mass advertising, on the scale that we did. The baby boom was so enormous. There's 80 million of us. And we were always, socially, we were the pig and the python. Oh, the schools are too small. We need more schools. So they built more schools. Oh, we're not going to have enough cars. We need cars for these kids. I mean, we had all these experiences and I've made a career of making games, but I've stayed away from trivia intentionally. And this was, I just started going through and remembering all the stuff, especially music, that made up every baby boomer's life. Our life experiences, I was in California, you may have been in Chicago, wherever we were, our experiences were largely the same. And so while there's regional moments, for the most part, I could identify universal truths for us. But I decided to do it a little differently. I've always been a bit of a smartass, and I brought that to the game. But more importantly, I looked and said, I don't want to play a standard game, history and science and entertainment. Instead, I tried to recategorize everybody's brain, and I built the game. I broke our memories into the following categories: things we heard, things we saw, things we learned in school, stuff we learned on the street. They didn't teach it to us at school. We didn't learn it at home. Stuff we learned on the street, things about the news, and a catch-all category with multiple answers called Shout. So I really got to cover a wide array of material, and that just helps people find that mental file cabinet. I'm telling them, okay, this is in the one that you heard, so you're thinking about what you heard. It just facilitates getting you to it. I mean, honestly, what I do with all the games I've made, I make lubrication for rusty social skills. Oh, I love that.
I just got more excited about this game. Thank you, Brian.
Oh, yeah, I facilitate a good time. And that's really the point. With time and the passage of time, we've lost some of our, especially following COVID, we've lost a lot of our opportunity to socialize with our friends. That's who we played with. We played with our friends, and it's still a joy to go back and remember things with our friends. So this is that inviting social entertainment. And if you don't know one answer, I promise you someone on your team knows part of it. It'll trigger your memory of the rest of it. Somebody else on your team is going to know a different category. There's a lot of content here.
Can I go off topic here for a second?
I just
realized something recently is that when I was in grade school, they didn't teach tectonic plates. I remember being told by my teacher that the fact that the continents look like a jigsaw puzzle that would fit together was just a coincidence. So I don't know if it's because I went to a Catholic school and the textbooks were old. Does anyone else remember that in school?
I was raised in Los Angeles, and so we didn't have to be taught anything about moving tectonic plates.
We didn't have tectonic plates in my house. We had Melmac, and that washed up really nice.
We had Mikasa, so it's all good.
Yeah, but did you buy them with green stamps, or did you buy them with blue chip stamps?
Either one got them free at the gas station.
Oh, someone just lubricated my memory there.
My favorite thing, I had Flintstone glasses. I saved up for those Flintstones glasses,
drinking glasses
that we got
right
at the gas station.
And just the mention of one little thing, look, all the memories that we can trigger.
And let me just say that while, you know, I've played this several times now, Boom Again, which is the name of the game, Boom Again is primarily a question and answer game, not dissimilar to Trivial Pursuit, but much, much better. But it also has some moving pieces, and the playing pieces in here will be familiar to every boomer. For instance, we have starting out a GI name tag. We have a Students for Kennedy political button. That's one of the political. A skate key, a 45 record adapter. I believe the top of the milk bottle, the cardboard insert, was called a pog later on. But I remember we used to get those all the time. And a roach clip, which, by the way, is welded shut, so I can't use it. Thank you
very
much. Oh, yes,
you can. Squeeze it harder, Dale. You can. I tried it. Anyway,
it got used over Christmas.
So I played this game with some friends of mine the other night, Brian. So I've played it a bunch of times, and I brought it to a dinner with two friends of mine who are in their 40s. And after I laid out the game and I put the pieces on, they're in their 40s. They had no idea what a roach clip was. They had no idea what the milk bottle topper thingy
the skate
was.
Key, not a clue.
Oh, the skate key. They're like, oh, it's a bottle opener. I'm like, are you guys kidding me? Like, how do you not know this?
Oh,
so
I got a brand new pair of roller skates.
Started out at a loss, right? Because they didn't even know what the playing pieces were.
And
then we got to the questions. It was crazy.
You would be surprised. One of the things I was really anxious to do was to put tokens in this game that were reminiscent of Monopoly, a quality token. Boomers grew up with quality, not disposability. So I really wanted to get that flavor in the game and have real metal skate keys. And I'll tell you just a quick side story. The dog tag you talked about, that's actually the dog tag of a friend of mine.
Wow.
He's gone now, but he came back from Vietnam. He had received two Purple Hearts. And I wanted to just honor the vets. I want to talk to him, but also the vets.
Do you guys remember the copper bracelets?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, that's what the dog tag made me think of, was the copper bracelets.
There's a lot of memories tied up in all of that stuff, but it's interesting as to what turns out to be controversial. Certain places wanted us to remove the photo of the roach clip as a token. It couldn't be mentioned. Other places came back and were very upset that we were trivializing the war by putting in a dog tag until I talked to them. Other places were outraged that Muhammad Ali was on the cover of the game, that he's one of the people on the game. So I, you know, can't win them all.
You can't please everybody. That's, yeah, we've learned that in every turn of the corner. But the best thing, I'll tell you, the best thing included with this game, because as I mentioned, it's a question and answer game. The questions are printed on little 3x5 cards, and we're boomers. How can we read those things? They include a little magnifying glass. And this, by the way, Brian, is exactly what our cards, our business cards for another day above ground contain, is a magnifying glass so that you can read the menu.
But ours is entitled Boomer's Little Helper.
Yes.
We used to have another thing that went with that definition back in the 70s.
You know, what's interesting...
I thought you said that roach clip didn't work.
It does.
Do you know what...
You, it totally worked.
What is interesting about the milk top lid, which is now called the Pog, is that my father-in-law told me that when he was a kid, because he grew up in the day before homogenized milk, that and all the cream would go to the top. And he said that him and his brothers would fight over who got that. They called it the lick.
Wow.
And who wants to drink anything else that's left in the bottle?
And my dad was a milkman and delivered the milk bottles. And at the very beginning, the bottles for like a quart of milk were shaped. And then there was a little bubble area and then the top. And the bubble area is where the cream collected. So you wanted to be the first one to open up the milk.
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you what we should do. I think we should give our listeners a taste of how this game really works. Now, once you get the game, you can read the directions and everything, and it's a movement of the little pieces. But we're going to just go with the questions today and see what kind of questions are the best ones for baby boomers. And Brian, you said you had some questions that you pulled out, and we'll try and guess them.
I do, and they will. I'll shoot them across different categories and different levels of difficulty, you'll get a real flavor for the game. Let's start with a question from the category Things You Heard. How many times does KC and the Sunshine Band sing the word shake before they sing Your Booty?
Can anyone shout out an answer?
Seven. I'm going with seven. Shake, 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 shake your booty.
There it is.
Wow, Dale, that was quick. I was not counting. Thanks.
Not the hardest question, I wanted you to get a flavor. Let's try this. What were the original four main course entrees from Swanson's TV dinners?
Oh, there was turkey and stuffing.
Yes.
There was meatloaf.
Yes.
Salisbury steak.
Ooh, good one, Tim.
And fried chicken.
That's it.
Oh, my gosh. We got them, you guys. Now, Tim, I want you on my team when we play.
No, you just what want me to put it in at dinner.
I'm always amazed how many people start by naming the desserts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No matter what the question was, they go, oh, I like the cobbler. Yeah. I like the...
I tried to figure out how the cranberry sauce went through the oven and still came out cranberry sauce.
I always wondered that, too. I always thought that maybe that portion was frozen with liquid nitrogen, but I realized later that wouldn't work.
You know, we talked about, let's go to that series of questions about things you learned on the street, because this is a wide area. I want to try two or three in a row right from that category.
Okay.
Baby boomers had a low-tech method for making their Schwinn sound like a hot rod.
Oh.
Easy. You put a card between the spokes.
Okay.
Baseball card and a clothespin.
All right. Let's see if you can stay up with this. Think back to your teenage years. That was younger. Think back to your teenage years. And tell me the difference between a Dutch treat and a Spanish fly.
You got Spanish fly, she'll pay the whole bill, really, trust me.
A Dutch treat, you split the bill. Spanish fly, as every little boy knew, is an aphrodisiac.
Oh, well, that's what I was thinking when you said Dutch treat. I thought it was like a dirty Sanchez or something like that. Oh, no.
Different game. the 60s, marijuana was cheap. How much was the lid?
How much did it cost, or how much quantity?
How much did it cost?
$20.
Anywhere from 10 to 30 is
acceptable. I never really understood what a lid was. I got the nickel bag, I got the dime bag, and I got a lid, and I never knew what that was.
Oh, I do. I know.
What is it?
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know if Brian wanted to answer. Do you know Brian?
Of course I know.
Okay.
I already told you I'm from California.
When you would open a can of Maxwell House coffee, you would stick that key in it and twist it all the way around the can, and then the top would come off, and it would be sharp metal, but it would be like a shallow can. And if you filled that up with pot, it was an ounce.
Filled what up, the top or the can?
The lid that came off the coffee can, a 5-pound coffee can. It's you run the key all the way around, and then that, just that little top comes off with a little metal, like about a quarter inch metal.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's that.
Okay,
that
I did not know.
That was really?
Huh. See that? We've taught something to the master.
I thought it was all just a baggie, you know, that somebody knew how to weigh it.
Nope. It was actually, it fit into the coffee can lid. And eventually, it became just an ounce, but originally the nickname was based on the an actual lid.
That's tremendous. You learn stuff on this show, too. That's tremendous.
Well, I'm trying to visualize him holding this thing. And, never mind. Let me try in a couple of things from the news. And you'll wave at me if you think it's too easy. What was Walter Cronkite's nightly news sign-off?
Courage. That's a joke.
That was Dan Rather.
Yeah, I know.
what was Walter Cronkite's every night?
And that's the way it is.
There it is.
Very good.
And that's the way it is. Which happened first? Sir Edmund Hillary climbs on top of Mount Everest, or Prince Rainier climbs on top of Grace Kelly?
Is that a real question?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, in both cases, a flag was planted, so to speak. So, wow.
And Hillary was born before either of them.
Yeah. All I can tell you is that, as I mentioned at the top, I have an attitude. I'm a smartass. and I didn't hesitate to put it in the game. I'm past the time when Walmart would return some of my games to a manufacturer saying, oh no, we can't have this. So this, you know, in the age of the internet, we can put whatever we want. So baby boomers are not offended. They we've all experienced all this.
Right.
So it's intended
to be. The answer to that one, I think it's the Grace Kelly one. I think she was first. Am I wrong?
Hillary. No, I think you're wrong.
Okay.
Edmund Hillary was about 1953, and she was later.
Yep.
Okay.
I found one in the game that is just for Carolyn, so I'm going to ask Carolyn this one. There was a time in China when the rulers were very well endowed. What was this known as?
A happy ending.
No.
I have no. Was that the Great Dynasty?
No, the Hung Dynasty. There you go, the Hung Dynasty, and that one was right from the game, so I love that.
Wow.
I think we need to see. We need to see how you guys are at singing.
I love this category, by the way. Shout is my favorite category, so let's do it.
It is remarkable how many people. And it's one of the reasons there's a limitation as to how many you will do in a given category, but this is the category everyone sparks to. Let's see. One at a time, I will read you titles of songs by the Beach Boys. To score, you must sing any part from four of them.
Okay.
Wow, that's the first time I've scored singing a Beach Boys song. Usually that's
Barbara
the end
Ann.
Of the date.
Barbara Ann.
And what do we have to sing?
Any part of it.
Ba,
from
ba,
what song?
Ba, 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 ba.
Right. You got that.
Ba, 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 ba.
Okay, that's one. California Girls.
I wish they all could be California girls.
Fun, fun, fun.
till her daddy takes her T-Bird away.
Boy, for someone who wasn't scoring on the Beach Boys, you're doing great here. Help me, Rhonda.
Help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda.
Help me get her out of my heart.
There was four right off the bat.
What are the other ones?
The other ones? Oh, yes. So you, okay. Little Deuce Coupe.
You don't know what I got.
Surfing USA.
They'll be there with Hill and Fremont and a rendezvous. Santa Cruz and Belmont.
Now, I'm starting to think that, you know, in addition to this being a great game to play, it's going to be a killer drinking game. This has got to be the best.
I'm delighted to hear you say that because at some point you're too close to it. You know, we wrote over 2,400 questions. Actually, we wrote over 2,800 and didn't use over 400. So once you're writing the material, it just keeps coming and coming.
Oh, yeah. Rewind. They're just gorgeous.
Rewind.
Just absolutely
rewind.
Cool.
Rewind.
Rewind.
Yeah. Why didn't you Why didn't you use those 400?
At some point, and I will tell you that the next edition of the game will not have as many cards in it as it has right now.
No.
Because the price of paper went through the roof.
Wow.
It went up 47%.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, Brian.
Just print them smaller. You gave them a magnifying glass. Just print them smaller.
Well, hang on a second, Carolyn. So the 400 will be included in a subsequent edition.
They will be mixed in. Yes, they absolutely.
Oh, also, okay. I was hoping that the 400 that you didn't put in were too offensive.
There are some of those where my wife took control and said, "You may not do that."
Can we get those? Can we have access to those?
Probably.
Good.
Right, Brian. With that being said, first of all, the box, the packaging, it's gorgeous. It's a cigar box. It's a magnetized cigar
box. Kept my Hot Wheels in a cigar box.
Right. We all kept stuff.
Every box.
Baby boomers kept their prized possessions in a cigar box.
That's right.
Wow. And I wanted everybody to have the opportunity to have this keepsake that has their prized possession, their memories. And that's how that came to be.
So gorgeous. Gorgeous, high quality tokens. They're amazing. The cards are in the most amazing stock. They fit in these two beautiful boxes. So why in 2022 or 2021 when the game came out, why would you not create a virtual game? Why is it a physical game, Brian?
There's a tactile nature to actually physically having something to hold. And if you think back about the games that we played, you have favorite memories. One of the questions in the game is, you know, name the original metal and Monopoly tokens. And we can all do that. And we remember exactly what that buzzer worked like in operation. And we knew exactly how we played these physical games. And all of this stuff was tactile. Can't we still enjoy some of that? Can't we, and not have it be just a photo of something? Actually have the real, that's why everything in it's authentically sized. It's not a miniature go-go boot. It's an actual, a roach clip. It's an actual, a record center. Yes, it is functional.
Yeah.
But that's part of recognizing that baby boomers, we're not going to be buying lots and lots of more toys and games. Can we at least have something that speaks to our experience? It could have been virtual, wouldn't have been the same at all, in my view.
And the next edition is going to have a full-size go-go boot as one of the playing pieces, so that'll be nice. Anyhow,
no, it's coming in a full-size
go-go. Oh, it's even better. That's even better.
I was like, Brian
Sinatra
Thursday.
Will bring it to your door.
Perfect. We're running out of time, and I want our listeners to know, where can they get this game? Because it is fully endorsed by Another Day Above Ground, and we think we're going to be featuring it on each of our shows just with a couple of questions for you, the listener, to get back up to date. But right now, Brian, where can they get a copy of Boom Again?
It's only available in two places. It's available at boomagain.com, and it's available on Amazon. And it's interesting. A lot of people don't want to shop Amazon because they just feel like it's crushing all of the small business in the world. But they know it, and they trust it, and it comes right away. And at the same time, we sell it directly. But that's it. We have not put it on the shelf anywhere at this time. We're keeping up with what we've got going on as it is.
Fantastic. It's a great game. I highly recommend it for baby boomers everywhere. And we really appreciate you being on our show, Brian Hirsch, the creator, the inventor, the genius behind Boom Again. Thanks for being
recording with us. Thank you so much. Love meeting you guys. Thanks.
We appreciate it.
Well, my friends, we have completely run out of time, so we need to say goodbye. First of all, Carolyn, any last words?
Go play this game, you guys. That's my last word. I have played it like four times with four different groups of people. It is so fun. And play it with people in their 30s and 40s. It's the only time that we can feel really smart.
Tim, final quotes.
I'm looking forward to those questions that couldn't be released.
Carolyn's now going to go look up the Hung Dynasty, so that's all I need to get a kick out of. I just want to remind you folks, play the game, have fun every day, and go out and enjoy today, because it is another day above ground. See you next week.